Bibles open once again to Leviticus chapter 23. If you need a Bible, please raise a hand. One of our welcome team would love to bring you one. Please don't be embarrassed to ask for a Bible. Leviticus 23, and you'll find that on page 126. Now, before Wincy comes and reads to us this morning, we're reading from verse 33. Just a reminder, particularly if you're new here this morning, that we have been working our way through the seven Jewish festivals, the ancient Jewish festivals that the Lord commanded them to keep every year. So this was an annual cycle. So here is our little chart that we've been working our way through. So here it is. Maps against our calendar here, but we've covered all of these so far. So there's the April festivals, the spring festivals, Passover, unleavened bread, the first fruits, the Feast of Weeks, Pentecost. So we covered all those together. And then just recently, we've been looking at the festivals that took place in the fall, the autumn. So we've looked at the Festival of Trumpets. Last time, we looked at the Day of Atonement. And today, we've arrived at the very last of these festivals, which is, anyone know? Festival of Tabernacles, that's right. And we're going to have a think about that together this morning. So Wincy, why don't you come and read that to us, and then we'll ask for God's help, and then we'll look at this last festival together. Thanks so much.
So Leviticus chapter 23 from 33 to 44. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, on the 15th day, on the seventh month of the Lord's Festival of the Tabernacles begins, and it lasts for 7 days. The first day is the sacred assembly. Do not do any of your ordinary work. For 7 days, present food offerings to the Lord. And on the eighth day, hold a sacred assembly and a present to the food offering to the Lord. It is the closing special assembly. Do not do any of your ordinary work. These are the Lord's appointed festivals, which you are to proclaim as sacred assemblies for bringing food offerings to the Lord. The burnt offerings, the grain offerings, sacrifices and drink offerings required for each day. These offerings are in addition to those for the Lord's Sabbath, and in addition to your gifts and whatever you have vowed, and all the free will offerings you give to the Lord. So beginning with the 15th day of the seventh month, after you have gathered the crops of the land, celebrate the festival to the Lord for 7 days. The first day is the day of the Sabbath rest. And the eighth day is also a day of the Sabbath rest. On the first day, you are to take the branches from the luxuriant trees, from the palms, willows, and other leafy trees, and rejoice before the Lord, your God, for 7 days. Celebrate this as a festival to the Lord for 7 days each year. This is to be the lasting ordinance for the generations to come. Celebrate it in the seventh month. Live in temporary shelters for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in such shelters, so that your descendants will know that I made the Israelites live in temporary shelters when I brought them out of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." So Moses announced to the Israelites the appointed festivals of the Lord.
Thanks, Wincy. Do you want to pop that mic on the table? Thank you so much. Great. Well, let's pray and ask for God's help as we look at this last festival together. Our Father, your word tells us that these festivals, that the law we read in the Old Testament is just a shadow of the reality we find in Christ. And so, Father, today, help us afresh this morning to see the reality in Christ that this festival points us to. Father, lead us to him for our salvation. Father, lead us to him for our hope and endurance today, and we ask it in his name. Amen. 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 Here's a picture. Anyone know what that is? Anyone recognize that? It's the Olympics. Anyone know which part of the Olympics that was? Well, it's not the opening. It was the closing ceremony. This is the closing ceremony of the London 2012 Olympics. Anyone remember that? Was anyone there at that? No, none of us were privileged enough or had enough money to go to that. It was the closing ceremony, the wrapping up of this wonderful event that we had in London. It was a celebration of all things Olympics, all things across the world, all things London. It was a spectacular closing ceremony. Now, the reason I start with that picture this morning is that if you participated in that in any form, then I want to plant that image in your head for this last of the festivals. It's that celebration. It is that last closing ceremony type vibe that this final festival had. This kind of celebration, wrapping everything up. See, let's just point out some features. If you've got your Bible, let's have a look. Let me point out some features of this final festival, which I think will help us as we start looking at it together. So verse 34 to 36, let's have a look there. Say to the Israelites, on the 15th day of the seventh month, the Lord's Festival of Tabernacles begins, and it lasts for 7 days. The first day is a sacred assembly. Do not do any of your ordinary work. For 7 days, present food offerings to the Lord, and on the eighth day, hold a sacred assembly and present a food offering to the Lord. It is the closing special assembly. Do not do any of your ordinary work. First feature of this final festival, it was 7 days. So it was a long one compared to the others. They only had this at the start. This was a seven-day festival. In fact, it was more than 7 days. How many was it? 8 days, because you got a bonus day tacked on the end. So he kind of tees it up. This is a seventh-day festival, and woohoo! You get an eighth day at the end. Now, we kind of lose the vibe of that, but imagine that someone said you had an extra day off work. You'd be like, yes! And that's the vibe. It had 8 days, and we'll come to the importance of that in a bit. And during this time, they were to present food offerings. So every day was marked with food offerings, and that was accompanied by sin offerings. And if you want to read more about those, go to Numbers 29, and you can read a long list of all the offerings they presented on those occasions. And the reason there was food offerings was that this was also the end of the harvest. We see that in verse 39. It was the gathering in, the final day, and all had been gathered in, and they wanted to say thank you to God. So this was a 7 day or 8 day festival where they had time off at the beginning and the end, special days with no work at the beginning and end of this festival, and it was all about offerings to God, praising God. Second thing I want you to notice, verse 36, is that this was the closing festival. There was on the eighth day, there was a closing special ceremony or assembly. And this marked the fact that this festival wrapped up the annual cycle of festivals. So they'd had festivals all throughout the year, but this was the last one. This was the grand finale. This was the big one when people took time off and they rejoiced before the Lord. Verse 40, you see that? On the first day, you are to take branches from luxuriant trees, from palms, willows, and other leafy trees, and rejoice before the Lord. So this festival was at the end of the year. It was a festival that closed everything out, and it was a festival of rejoicing. They were commanded to rejoice. None like the other festivals, where we're not having that command. This one, God says, rejoice, celebrate before me. Now, the thing that made this festival particularly unique compared to the others was that for these 7 days, God made his people live in temporary shelters. Now, I brought my temporary shelter with me this morning to kind of illustrate this. Theirs didn't look anything like this, but work with me for a second. So here it is. Here is a temporary shelter. I'm going to put this up over here. I don't actually remember how this thing works. Oh, there we go. That way up. So for 7 days, God's people had to live in a tent. They had to camp out for 7 days. This was a camping festival. And these are the features of this final festival. Now look with me at verse 40. On the first day, you are to take branches from luxuriant trees. Now I know that doesn't look like branches. You have to work with me, okay? This is meant to be made up of branches and trees. For 7 days, you're to take branches, palms, willows, other leafy trees, and rejoice before the Lord your God. Now, it's not until verse 42 that we discover what they're meant to do with those branches. Verse 42, live in temporary shelters for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in such shelters. So you're getting a feel for the festival, okay? 7 days with an eighth day tacked on the end. It's the closing ceremony. It's marked by joy, and they have to live in a tent or a temporary shelter for 7 days. Now, I know for most of us, the idea of living in a tent and joy do not go together, okay? But for 7 days, the people of God had to live in temporary shelters and rejoice before him. And here's the thing, why? Why was God wanting them to stay in tents for 7 days? You know, what is it about living in a tent that would bring them joy? Well, wanting them to live in a tent gave them a whole body-soul experience, reminding them of the very reasons that God wanted them to celebrate. The reasons that they had to be joyful before him. So what are they? Why was living in a tent for 7 days giving them reasons to rejoice? What are they celebrating? Well, let me put it like this morning. They were celebrating as they lived in a tent the fact that the Lord had saved them, the Lord had sustained them, and the Lord had now settled them in the land. Does that make sense? He'd saved them. That is, as they live in the tent, this is what they're remembering. He saved them, he sustained them, and he's now settled them in the land. Let's work through those. He saved them. There's a, that's actually what they probably look like, less than my tent from Millets. That's actually what the Sukkot looks like. And here it is. The first one is that the Lord had saved them from slavery. Look at verse 42 and 43 again. Live in temporary shelters for 7 days. All native-born Israelites are to live in such shelters so that your descendants will know that I made the Israelites live in temporary shelters when I brought them out of Egypt. Living in a tent reminded them that they, in their past, had been brought out of Egypt by the Lord. Foundational to their identity as a nation was their rescue from slavery in Egypt. The Lord, through a mighty act of judgments and then a final act of judgment as he killed their firstborn, through an act of judgment, God saved his people from the tyranny and grip of Egypt. Now, how does that fit in with living in a tent? How does a tent remind them of that story? Well, because when the Lord saved them, he saved them not into immediately into their promised eternal rest, as it were, but he saved them into a journey. He saved them into the temporary. He saved them into tents. The Lord saved them into a wilderness journey. The Lord saved them into temporary shelters, verse 43. You see the language? Living in tents for 7 days reminded them, they were rejoicing before the Lord that in our past we are who we are because the Lord saved us from slavery in Egypt. But as they lived in tents, it also reminded them that the Lord sustained them on the journey. As they lived in these tents and they recalled the time that they were saved and they journeyed through the wilderness, they were remembering that the Lord provides. Now, that was relevant to this time of year, verse 39, if you look there. So beginning with the 15th day of the seventh month, after you have gathered the crops of the land, celebrate the festival to the Lord for 7 days. They were in a season of celebrating the Lord's provision. But the Lord hadn't just provided for them in the land with a harvest. As they lived in tents, they remembered that the Lord had provided for them as they journeyed from their salvation to the place that he promised to settle them. As they journeyed in tents, the Lord had given them everything they needed. He'd sustained them on their journey. He gave them manna from heaven, bread to feed them. He gave them water in some spectacular ways from a rock, turning bitter water at times into sweet water. The Lord had sustained them with the food they needed. And as they sat in their tents, huddled together, celebrating really the Lord's provision in harvest, they were remembering that actually, yes, it's the Lord who sustained us. sustained us on our journey, and sustains us today. And it's not only that the Lord had fed them in sustaining them, the Lord also led them. It wasn't just the people who lived in temporary shelters, was it? Who else lived in a temporary shelter? The Lord himself. The Lord had a tent, a temporary shelter at the very heart of the camp because he journeyed with them. He came with them in a temporary shelter. He saved them and then he journeyed with them. Why? To lead them and to feed them. That's the Lord. That's their God. And that's who they were celebrating for these 7 days. They were celebrating that he'd saved them. They were celebrating he sustained them. But as they huddled into their tents for 7 days, they were celebrating the fact that the Lord had now settled them into the land. Anyone here like camping? Three of you, yes. No, four of you. There you go, there's some more hands up there. Anyone here ever done camping? Yeah, more of you have done it. Few of you like it. Do you know what a friend of mine says is the best thing about camping? Anyone guess? Going home. That is the best thing, isn't it? That is absolutely the best thing about camping. A few of the hardcore campers here are like, no, nonsense. There's so many good things about camping. But going home is, I mean, I like camping, but going home is genuinely one of the best things about camping. Because you swap the temporary for the permanent. You swap the uncomfortable for the comfortable. You swap everything being difficult, like even just getting a cup of water, you swap it to go home, and it's great. It makes you thankful. Camping makes you really thankful for home. So if you ever want to be really grateful for your home, borrow my tent, and off you go. But you know what? The same was true for the Israelites. The same was true for God's people. How many days were they to live in tents? Have a look, verse 42. How many days? 7 days. Brilliant. Thanks, Nath. They were to live in tents for 7 days, but how long was the festival? 8 days. What do you think they did on the eighth day? Went home. They went home. They went back to their houses. They went back to the place that God had given them and blessed them with. They went to their permanent homes. They got to swap the temporary for the permanent. And they enjoyed a day of rest. Probably because after sleeping in a tent for 7 days, you needed to catch up on your sleep. But actually, it wasn't sleeping. They were rejoicing before the Lord. They had a day of rest. A day of rest as they swapped their tents for their houses. As the Lord had saved his people out of Egypt and he journeyed with them, do you know what he promised them? He promised them a home. He promised them a place to live, a place that would be theirs forever, is what he said. You see, in between salvation and in between settling, there's a journey. In between rescue and in between rest, there's a wilderness journey to be embarked on. But as they lived in tents for 7 days, they remembered that God's promise to them was true. That he had settled them in the land. That he had given them somewhere to be. He had given them rest. And so you see, this festival, which the Jews still celebrate today, this festival was a celebration, a 7-day closing ceremony where they rejoiced before the Lord that he'd saved them out of slavery, he'd sustained them on their journey, and he'd settled them in their permanent home. So what's that got to do with us? What's that got to do with Jesus? How's that just a shadow of what we see? Well, we're currently, friends, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus here this morning, we are currently waiting for a closing ceremony. Let's just switch it around. Here it is. We are waiting for a closing ceremony. We are waiting for a final festival. And that is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And on that day, that will be the day, verse 39, when, as it were, the harvest has been fully gathered in. That's a picture in the New Testament of all the people that Jesus is saving have been safely gathered in. All those are saved, are gathered. And it will be a day where the people of God, those who've been saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will be celebrating and rejoicing before the Lord. That's the day we're waiting for. And what will the people of God be celebrating on that day? What will the people be rejoicing about Jesus? Well, I want to show you that they'll be rejoicing in the very same three things that the people were celebrating at the Festival of Tabernacles. On that closing ceremony of our world, a great crowd of people will be celebrating, first of all, that Jesus saved us, that Jesus sustained us on our journey, and that Jesus has settled us in the land. That is what we will be celebrating on that great day. First of all, he saved us. How does this festival point us to Jesus? Because it points us to the one who saved us. We will spend all eternity rejoicing that Jesus, the Passover lamb, was slaughtered so that we could be saved. That he took our sins so that we might have eternal life. That he took the judgment that we deserve for our sins so that we could be spared from that judgment and find a place in that promised eternal home. By the Lord Jesus' death in our place, by him being the Passover lamb, we are spared from the judgment that we deserve on that final day. And those of us who are rejoicing on that day will acknowledge for all eternity that Jesus gave us eternal life, that Jesus forgave our sins. We will acknowledge on that day that we are only standing in that crowd because of what Jesus has done, not because of anything we've done. And I want to ask some of you this morning, as we think about that closing ceremony, are you saved by the Lord Jesus? Will you be part of that crowd on that final day? Have you asked Jesus to spare you from the judgment that you deserve because of your sins? You know, Jesus says that all of us are slaves to sin. Did you know that? He says anyone who sins is a slave to sin. To be a slave to something means you're held captive by it. Just like the Israelites were in Egypt. They were held tight by this captor. And we are slaves to our sin. Because our sin holds, as it were, a grasp over us. An accusation over us that says you are guilty. And this list kind of sits by our side. And the great accuser, Satan, can point at that list and say, look, this is what you've done. This is what you've done. And he's right. But it's the Lord Jesus, through his death, that sets us free from the grip of sin, the slavery of sin, the power that sin has over us, the hold that it has over us. Have you asked Jesus to free you from that list of sins in your life, your rejection of God, your breaking of his commands? Jesus saves. And on that final day, the great crowd of people will be standing there. And we will be saying, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. That's what we'll be celebrating. And we'll also be celebrating on that day the fact that Jesus is the one who sustained us on the journey to get to that great day, that great final celebration. Everyone who will be celebrating as part of that crowd will be acknowledging it wasn't just Jesus who saved us, but it was Jesus who sustained us to bring us to this final celebration. He led us and he fed us as we journey from rescue to rest. Who is getting you through each day as a follower of Jesus? Do you think it's you? Jesus sustains his people. Jesus upholds us. Jesus gives us what we need to go from rescue to rest, from salvation to being settled in our promised home. As soon as we start relying upon ourselves, as soon as we start thinking this journey is about me, we've lost it. We have to trust Jesus. And we trust Jesus as the one who left heaven, left his eternal home, and entered into our temporary world and took on a tent of a body. Jesus, who tabernacled among us, is the one who still dwells among us today by his Spirit. He's still here among us by the Holy Spirit, and it's the Holy Spirit who helps us on the journey. Many of us love that old hymn, "All the Way My Saviour Leads Me." You like that hymn? I love that hymn. And as we get to eternity, you can switch the tenses of that hymn around, okay? Because at the moment we sing, "All the way my Saviour leads me." It's we're singing it on the journey. But on that day, we'll sing it in the past tense and we'll say, "All the way my Saviour led me. And he cheers each winding path I trod. He gives me strength. He gave me strength for every trial. And he fed me with the living bread. And though my weary steps may have faltered, and my soul at times was thirsty, gushing from a rock before me, the spirit of joy I see." Jesus, we'll be celebrating on that day, friends. Not that, didn't we do well on the journey? But Jesus sustained us. He got us through the wilderness journey that we're currently living in. And on that final day, we'll be celebrating that Jesus settled us in the land. Now, let me just try and explain that quickly. On that day, the great final day of celebration, the closing ceremony of our world, the temporary will be exchanged for the permanent. What is perishable will be exchanged for what is imperishable. Those who are saved by Jesus and sustained by Jesus will be settled into the new heavens and the new earth. Let me put some verses up from the New Testament to try and help kind of fix this in. Here's 2 Corinthians 5. This is what Paul says. "For we know," he says, "that if the earthly tent," that's our bodies, the tents, "the earthly tent we live in is destroyed," what do we have? A building from God, something permanent. There's something permanent coming. An eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. That's good news, isn't it? Particularly when you feel like you're breaking and your body's given up on you and all those kind of things. The tent that you live in is going to be replaced with something better. Again, a little bit later, just a few verses later. "While we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened." Can you relate to that? I can. "Because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life." You see what's going to happen? The temporary is swapped for the permanent. Jesus will settle us in our permanent home. Again, here's some words from 1 Corinthians 15, a bit earlier. "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep," that means die, "but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory." Isn't that good news? And that is what the crowd of people on that closing ceremony will be celebrating. That the temporary has been exchanged for the permanent. And you know what? This is where the eighth day, I think, comes in. We'll have an eighth day. You see, the cycle of the week is 7 days. And on the Jewish seven-day cycle, they had on the seventh day a day of rest. But on this closing ceremony, what else do they have? They have an eighth day. A day that goes beyond the day of rest, an extended rest. And friends, that is the description of eternity. An eighth day. We will enjoy the eighth day forever and forever. Are you looking forward to that day? The great closing assembly? It'll be better than the Olympic closing ceremony. So what's that got to do with us? How does that help us this week? Because many of us are thinking, "Oh yeah, I'm really looking forward to that day." But now we've got to go out and do the rest of life in our temporary tents. We've got to go out and we've got to live another night in a tent. Because that's what we are. We're temporary tents right now. So how does this help us? Well, let me just try and rub this in with three lessons before we finish up. Here's the first one. The first lesson is this. We are saved into a journey. Earlier this week, me and Emma popped into London briefly to do something. And when you come out of a tube station, there's always those maps, isn't there, that kind of say, this is where you are. Really helpful if you don't know where you are. But here it is. This is where you are. And then from there, you can see, well, this is where I need to go. And I want to say to you this morning that putting a tent in front of us reminds us where we are on the journey. And it reminds us of the real and genuine experience of the journey. Because actually, we are saved by the Lord Jesus into a temporary existence, into a journey. And you've got to remember that. See, we are really saved. You see, you read the New Testament and you think, Jesus saved me, but why does life feel so tough? And sometimes it makes you doubt what Jesus did. Am I really saved? Did that really do its job? Yes, Jesus really did do his job, but he saved us, not launching us straight into everything being okay, into the eternal home he's promised us. No, he saved us into a journey. That is the genuine Bible experience of being saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. We are saved into temporary shelters. We are saved into a wilderness journey. And that's where we are. And so if you're feeling doubtful about your salvation because of the experience of life now, let me say to you, the tent says to you, remember, that is the genuine experience of salvation. We're saved onto a journey. We're saved into a wilderness experience. But it ends in glory. So remember where you are on the journey. You are genuinely saved, but it feels like a bit of a wilderness journey as we get towards rest. Second thing I want to say to some of us is this. He will sustain you on the journey. Wandering in a wilderness can feel pretty tough. Many of us wonder, will we get through another night living in a tent, metaphorically? You know, can we do genuinely another night in these bodies, you know, with all the sufferings and struggles that life comes with and we go through? Can I really do another night? Will I really make it to the eternal home we've been promised? The answer is yes, as you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the journey. Jesus picks up on this in John chapter 7. So at John 7, Jesus is celebrating this festival, the Festival of Tabernacles. Now, there were some things that changed. If you're interested, you can come and chat to me afterwards. But post-exile, the festival took on a slightly different shape and form. But Jesus stands at the festival and he says this. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. How does Jesus sustain us on his journey, this journey? By the gift of the Holy Spirit. As we come to Jesus and we drink, he supplies what we need for that journey. That's why Paul can say in Philippians 4, "My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Friends, I want you to be confident this morning as we come to this festival that Jesus will sustain us. Just as he sustained the Israelites through the wilderness to the promised land, he led them and he fed them. If you keep running to him, I can promise you with Bible certainty that Jesus will keep you. He will sustain you. But the moment that we start trying to sort it out ourselves and the moment that we start trying to find our own solutions, that's when it's going to go wrong. But keep going to Jesus. You've got a hard day coming up. You've got something that you're struggling to face. You're worried about certain things. Run to him. Help one another to run to him. Let's look to the one who will sustain us. Just as he sustained the Israelites, he will sustain us. And then here's the final thing I want to say. He will settle us in the land. When we groan, and as a pastor, I get to sit with lots of people who are finding life hard, who are groaning, when we groan, you must look forward with hope. We have to look forward with hope to the eternal hope that we have. Just as he kept his promise to the Israelites to settle them in the land, to exchange their temporary shelters for permanent homes, he will keep his promise to us that these temporary bodies we live in that cause us to groan will be swapped out for the permanent. Jesus will come again. And the best thing about camping is we will get to go home. We will be home. The temporary will be replaced by the permanent. And we will be part of that crowd who are singing, "He saved us, He sustained us, and He settled us in our eternal home." Amen? Let's pray. God, our Father, we want to say thank you this morning so much for Jesus. Father, how we look forward to that closing celebration when we stand and we sing with all those that you've graciously saved, that we've been saved, sustained, and settled in our new home. Oh, praise to you. But as we await that day and we live in the temporary, please give us assurance that this is the genuine experience of salvation. Please would your unfailing provision sustain us. And please would you give us certain hope that what is temporary will be exchanged for what is permanent. And we ask all this, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, let's